take this opportunity to welcome those who are visiting with us. Happy you're here. I ask you to keep your mind and Bible open as we study some things together. Hope it will be a benefit to you and give you a better understanding of spiritual things. And if you have any questions about what you hear this morning, do not hesitate to ask me. I'll be more than happy to sit down with you and give you a better understanding from God's Word. Before we get into the lesson this morning, I want to make my final pitch for about our gospel meeting that begins next Lord's Day. Brother Donnie Oliver, who is from London, Kentucky, and London is Donnie's first work. He's been there about, I think, 4 years now, if my memory serves me right. And he's a good young man. We don't have any problem understanding what he says. He'll come prepared to do his work. His wife Tracy will be with him on Sunday. They have 3 children, one that was born to them, Ethan, and then they have adopted 2 other children. And they are a very good family. I think you'll enjoy getting to meet them. And I hope that you'll make every opportunity to be here each and every night to hear the gospel preached. And invite people. All they can do is say no. All you have to do is invite them. It's not up to you how they respond. All we need to do is invite them, and we encourage you to do that. This morning, I want to continue in a series that I began last Wednesday. I know that it's not a very pleasant subject, but I'm afraid that many people in the religious world, and even some of my brethren, have stopped preaching about hell. And I understand why. It's not a very pleasant thought. But one of the things that we need to understand is hell is, as we discussed last week, a real place. It's not myth. It's not legend. It's not a subject that we use to scare people into obedience. It is a prepared place for an unprepared people. It is a place of design of punishment. And although many people do not believe it, and although, as we discussed last week, a great segment of the religious people do not believe that hell is real, we even have many among ourselves who have been misguided and mistaught people according to what the scripture teaches. This began many years ago in the 50s and 60s with a man named Barrett. He was the first one to come to the Lord's church to take the position that hell was not a real place. But in 2003, not long after he died, Brother Homer Haley published a book. Now, Brother Haley didn't publish it, but a man named Stan Parr published it. Now, Stan, I know Brother Parr personally when I was from my days out in Las Vegas. And I believe the only reason that this book was ever published is because Homer Haley's name is on the manuscript. But Brother Haley wrote, we're about to discuss this morning, when he was 97 years old, just prior to his death. And it saddens me that of all the books that Brother Haley has written, and he's written a number, I have all of them in my library, including this one, and it is sad all the good work that Brother Haley has done, the 2 books that he will be remembered for is the error of the book that he taught on marriage and divorce, and this book. I'm convinced from reading this book that this is something Haley would have never published. But Brother Pryor published it because Haley's name was on it and knew that it would sell because it had Haley's name on it. But I believe these were rambling of notes that Brother Haley had taken, and yet he had not thought through many arguments that we're going to look at this morning. But be that as it may, tonight, I'm going to show you that Brother Haley wrote a commentary on the book of Revelation. Looks like this. And in this book, he contradicts what he says in this book. This was written 30 to 35 years before this book. And so that leads me to believe that there is much in this book that is just the thoughts of an aged Christian. But be that as it may, it's in print, and many people take a lot of and believe it because it was written by Brother Haley. And so what I want to do today, I want to be fair. Many times in the Lord's church, people accuse us that we think we're the only ones going to heaven, and that we only bash other religions. That's just false. Even some among us do not have the truth. And Brother Haley does not have the truth on this subject of punishment. His conclusions are not accurate. They are not valid. And I want to show you why. And I think that's fair, because he is one that many people in the Lord's church have a lot of respect for. And I have respect for Brother Haley. I knew Brother Haley personally. I worshiped with him for 18 months in Tucson, Arizona, when I was there in the military. I got to know Brother Haley very well. He's a very likable fellow. And he was a Bible scholar. I don't know anyone, but I've learned more from the Old Testament than Brother Haley. Brother Haley was a very good scholar in the Old Testament. But all that being said, he is absolutely wrong in what he says in his book on God's punishments and judgments. And so I want to look at this today and to give you some of the things that Brother Haley said in his book and show you why they are erroneous. In Jude verse 7, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to look at that. In Jude verse 7, and this is the last book before the Revelation letter, a very short book, but it's a book that has a lot to do with disobedient Christians. And in verse 7 it says, "At Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, I set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Now, what Haley does is he emphasizes the term eternal fire here. Eternal fire. And he's going to draw some conclusions about what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah and eternal fire. He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. That's what Peter said in 2 Peter 2 and verse 6. Haley says, if they serve as examples, what did they teach except that those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire exist no more? And so what Brother Haley says is when God says something is destroyed in eternal fire, that just like Sodom and Gomorrah, it just ceased to exist. Well, that sounds rational, doesn't it? Sounds plausible. But let's look at that a little further for a minute. Eternal and everlasting. In the Bible, these terms are used, but they're used in different settings. It describes the duration, either undefined, but not endless, or undefined because they're endless. Let's look at a couple of them. Look at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 is termed everlasting is used. In Romans 16, in verse 26, it says, "The knowledge is made manifest," that means to make known, "and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." Now, in that context, the everlasting God is talking about his eternal nature. He is eternal, no beginning, no end, the everlasting God. But in the other passages, you have people talk about everlasting priesthood. Now in Exodus, when the Old Testament priesthood was given, it says it was to be an everlasting priesthood. Now, does that mean forever? Does everlasting mean the same thing there that it made in Romans chapter 16? No, because we know that that priesthood was not an everlasting priesthood. Look at Hebrews chapter 7 and look at verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 12. For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there also comes a change of the law. And so this everlasting priesthood was changed. Well, how can that be if it was an everlasting priesthood? Sometimes the word everlasting means the duration of something. The Old Testament everlasting was for the duration of the Old Testament, for the Old Testament period. But it did not mean everlasting in the same way that we'd be talking about God. And so if you would look up the terms, you would find that both the terms everlasting are not from the same Hebrew and Greek word. They're from a different word because they have different meanings. But you don't need to be a Hebrew or a Greek scholar to know that. The context tells you that everlasting has a different meaning in Exodus 40, because we know that the Levitical priesthood was not an everlasting, eternal priesthood. We know that because we know that it was nailed to the cross, Colossians 1:14. So I don't have to be a scholar to know that those words can have different meaning. The context tells me they have different meaning. And then you have in Genesis chapter 49, it talks about everlasting hills. Now, is that forever? Are hills going to last forever? No. 2 Peter 3 verse 10, it says every element on earth is going to be destroyed with fervent heat and going to dissolve. That would include the hills. Again, we need to look at the context. When speaking of an action, emphasize upon eternal results, not on eternal action. Sometimes the eternal is on the result and not on the action. Other times it's on the action. Now, Haley examples, when he talks about something existing and then being gone, he uses the examples in the Bible about chaff, tares, and dead branches. Now, we won't look at all of them, but let's look at the first one. Look at Matthew chapter 3 and look at verse 11. Now, this has to do with the teaching of Jesus when he was on earth. In 3 and verse 11 it says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor, gather the wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so he's emphasizing in that text the burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And if you go to John 15, that talks about dead branches, and branches that do not bear fruit. He prunes them, he cuts them off, and throws them into the fire. And if you look at Matthew chapter 13, he's talking about dead branches, doing the same with tares. The tares will grow with the wheat. And then he'll take the tares that are with the wheat and he'll take them out in the final judgment and he'll burn them with fire. Now, Brother Hagin is saying that those examples demonstrate that when something is burnt up, there it is non-existent. Chaff, tares, and dead branches. And if you were to burn a dead branch, and you would build a fire and you burn them, it would cause the branches to not exist. So on the surface, that seems like a viable argument. Well, burn up an unquenchable fire. Burn with fire. Cast in the fire and burn. Haley says, there is nothing left beyond the fire of a consciousness that could possibly be tormented. And so Brother Hayden said, when the person is burnt up, there is nothing left to be tormented. But Brother Hayden's making one great mistake. He is comparing things that are not equal. Chaff, tares, and dead branches is not the eternal spirit. They are not the same. Let me show you. Eternal and everlasting. Eternal is the most, the longest possible duration of subject and capable of enduring. Priesthood, chaff, tares, dead, Sodom, Gomorrah, earth. They have a duration. They will last for a duration of the period of time. Eternal fire may be so because of God being eternal, but what about the subject being burnt with unquenchable fire? The thing is, being burnt with unquenchable fire is not like the priesthood, not like chaff, not like dead branches, not like Sodom and Gomorrah, not like the elements on the earth. What's being tormented with unquenchable fire is something that does not have the ability to be destroyed. It is different. How long, let me ask a question, how long is a rich man, in Luke 16, when his spirit, when he lifted up his eyes in torment, how long has his spirit been an inescapable Hadean torment, suffering the punishment of fire? Is he still there, or does he not exist? He still exists. He's not destroyed. He's still there. His spirit is still in torment. Why isn't it not burnt up? Like the chaff, like the tear, like the dead branches, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Why does it not cease to exist? Because it has an eternal nature that the branches, that the cities, and the chaff, and the tares do not have. We have an eternal spirit. It is different. You know what we call this, brethren? Comparing apples with oranges. They are not the same. The one dieth not. Haley says, their word, disposition towards God, of earth, cast in hell, does not lie, it continues the same. Haley says, the reproach and the rebelling of man, the disposition of the Jews, did not die even in hell. Any change in this man's disposition in Hades? Is he changed from where he was when he got there? Is his spirit still intact? Is his memory still there? Is it still there, or has it ceased to exist? Mark 9:41, in hell, not what continues on earth. We're not talking about what continues on earth. We're talking about what continues in hell, in the place of eternal torment. That's not like on earth. They talked about outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth in Matthew 8, verse 11 and 12. Haley says, light and darkness before God created life. It was the darkness of nothingness. Physically, it was the darkness of non-existence. Okay, in the beginning, God wasn't there, so there was non-existence. So if outer darkness is nothingness, it is not non-existent. For someone is there where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. If nothing is there, how are they in weeping and gnashing of teeth? If nothing's there, how do you describe them weeping and gnashing of teeth? Something's there. Something's there, and someone is experiencing something there. It's not non-existent. Must be understood in the context of what is capable of enduring indefinitely. Our spirits are capable of enduring indefinitely. Our spirit is not material matter, such as shaft, weeds, dead branches. How long has the rich man's spirit been suffering inescapable torment of hell? He is still there. He is not non-existent. The eternal spirit is not something that was created out of material things that defile, decay, and cease to exist. The eternal spirit is not made up of that type of material. Do you remember what we studied last week? The body goes into the grave, but what comes out of the grave? It was a winning without power. It came out with power. Why did it come out with power? Because it was different than what went in. What went in was a dead body. What comes out of it is a new body that is eternal, that is designed for the habitation that it will now reside in. This body of flesh and bones was built to reside on earth. And when we die, it's going back to the dust from which it came, because we are no longer going to exist in this realm. That's another argument, that there is no thousand-year reign on earth. Because if there were, we would need this physical body. But God's going to destroy this body in the resurrection. It's going to become an eternal body. The inner man. That body cannot be destroyed by anything. By anything. The worm dieth not. It is a picture of eternal corruption, not an unchanged disposition. Did the rich man's disposition change again in the Hadean realm? No, it didn't change. He was still there. It is in hell where the worm dieth not. It is not an unchanged disposition on earth. It says where the worm dieth not is in hell, not on earth. In the earth, it will die. In hell, it will never die. Because it is not capable of dying. Because the eternal spirit is not the physical body. Now, if the physical body was going to be cast in hell, then it would cease to exist. You could do that and have your body cremated. It ceased to exist. But that is not the body that's going to be placed in eternity. Not the physical body, the spiritual body. It is in outer darkness where the weeping and gnashing of teeth occurs, not our regrets on the way of extinction. Now, the words of eternal punishment. What did Jesus mean by few stripes? Many stripes. Paul, what can you add to the discussion being guided by the Holy Spirit? Is there degrees of punishment? Is there going to be degrees of punishment in hell? Many or few? Well, you have to look at the context of Jesus' teaching. In the Pharisees in Luke chapter 11, in the scribes and lawyers in Luke 11, and also the disciples in Luke chapter 12. The principle to understand, what is the principle? The principle is, where much is given, much is required. Doesn't that agree with Jesus' teaching on the parables? It didn't make a difference about the talents in Matthew 25, whether you have 5, 2, or 1. That wasn't the emphasis. The emphasis is on what you did with the talent and the ability that you had. You see, we put the emphasis where God did not place it. God did not place it on the number of talents. He placed it on what they did with those abilities. The greater condemnation. Why? Because they had greater ability. There was more expected out of them. They had the greater condemnation because God expected more. There was a heavier judgment. Turn to James chapter 3. Now I'm convinced this is why many people don't teach, because of what this passage says. James 3 verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Now, what does that mean? You know what that means? I'll tell you what it means to me personally. I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelist. I chose this line of work. I get up here and I preach his sermons. I teach his classes. Does God require more of me in the things that I do? Am I going to be accountable for more? Yes. Because I am speaking and teaching God's word. God's going to hold me to a strict judgment. You know what this passage is telling you? It's not telling you not to teach. It's telling you to understand. It's telling you to understand that when you teach, be sure what you're teaching is true. Be sure you're teaching the truth, not your opinion, not your philosophy, because you're going to be held accountable. Brother, I said, I know that when I stand before God, I'm going to give an account for every sermon I ever preach, for any Bible class I ever taught publicly or privately, for any teaching I ever give when I represented God, I'm going to be held accountable. That's a strict judgment. All that means is that I should give great thought to what I say and what I speak to be sure that it's according to the truth. And believe you, I do. I strive to make sure that I do that. But that doesn't discourage me from teaching. It just means I'll be prepared when I do. Punishment of stripes, many or few, is what a disobedient servant receives. Not necessarily what it was with the body and soul receives in hell literally. The stripes we're talking about on earth. We're not talking about stripes in hell. We're talking about stripes on earth. We're talking about two different punishments. One is on earth, one is in hell. There's two different things here. Righteous judgment. Jesus talks about it. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 89. Let's read verse 6. Keep the context. Who will render each one according to their deeds. Eternal life to those by patience, continuance, in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, anguish on every soul of man who does evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want you to notice in verse 9, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man. That's not talking about your physical body. That's talking about your eternal spirit. What does it say? Tribulation and anguish. Tribulation and anguish. Wrath and indignation. No respect of persons. Jew or Greek. God's hot judicial wrath. Man feeling the weight of grief of the consequences of his sin. And man perishes or he is lost. In verse 12 of that text, for as many that have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. As many that have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. Who shall suffer punishment? Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 9. And flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and do not obey the gospel of Christ. These, listen to what it said here, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Everlasting destruction. Why is it everlasting? From the presence of the Lord. This is the second death. You're going to be eternally separated from God. Not the human body, the inner man, the soul of man. Eternal destruction. Eternal punishment. Sudden destruction. Destruction of the flesh in 1 Corinthians 5. Remember the man who had his father's wife? He said, turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, but the saving of his spirit. You see, there's two distinct things there. The flesh and the spirit. Drowned in destruction and in perdition. The vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction. Look at Matthew, what did Jesus say? He was sitting on the mount. Blood and life is the way that leads to destruction. And many go there in name. Many go there. Many go the broad way. Judas, in John 17 and 12, when he went out and hung himself. The waste of ointment in Matthew 26. The mourning of wineskins. Hades says a drowned man is no longer conscious, but is dead. Hades says a vessel destroyed in men's wrath is no longer a vessel, but it is fragments. Well, here's my answer to Hades. Hades says a drowned man is no longer conscious, but is dead. What about the rich man? Is he conscious or is he dead? He's dead. But is he conscious? What did Abraham say? Son, remember. If you can remember, that's consciousness. Is it not? Hades said the vessel destroyed in one's wrath is no longer a vessel, it's just a bunch of fragments. Vine says the idea is not extinction, but ruin. Ruin, loss, not being, but of well-being. Vessels, skins, and souls ruin, not extinction, loss of well-being, not of being. Again, Brother Haley is comparing physical things with an eternal thing. Your soul is eternal, it's not a physical thing. Your body is physical, your soul is eternal. There is two parts of you. You have an outer man, you have an inner man. You have an outer man of flesh and blood, you have an inner man that's made up of spirit. That part is eternal. It is not like things that can be destroyed. Eternal punishment, unconscious extinction, or conscious eternal separation from the face of the Lord. Hegel says, without showing respect to person, the judgment of the final day will bring terrible suffering to the wicked. But your suffering will end in unconsciousness and extinction. Then it's not eternal suffering. Is it? Turn over to Revelation chapter 20. There are two places in the Bible where we are afforded a glimpse into the judgment scene. As a matter of fact, before I read chapter 20, I want you to keep your finger there and go to the beginning of the New Testament to the other one in Matthew 25. Now, you know what these are? These are victories. Matthew 25, Jesus is giving us a glimpse into the judgment scene. through Matthew 25, I want you to go down to verse 34. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, But surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do this to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. But these, who are these? These are the goats. These are the ones on the left. These are the ones that did not do the things God required. These will go away in everlasting punishment. The righteous and eternal life. Let me ask you a question. If you go in heaven, do you believe it's an eternal life? Do you believe it's everlasting with no end? Then how can you believe punishment is not the same? Everlasting life, everlasting punishment. Whatever duration of one is the duration of the other. If not, then we're only going to be in heaven for a little while and then we're going to cease to exist. Now, look at Revelation 20. Look at verse number 12. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were open. And another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things written in the book. Now what books is he talking about? He's talking about the law. He's talking about the old law or the new law. We're going to be judged by the things written in the book. By our lives being compared to the things that are written up in the book. Do they mesh? Do they line up? And then it says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in men. That means that's where the rich man's at. And the Hades now. Death and Hades, that's the grave. The Hades is where the spirit is. Death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in men. Now listen, there's only two places you can be. You're in the Hadean world because that's where your spirit's at, and your body's in the grave because that's where you went when you died. But now they're going to deliver themselves up, and they will judge each according to their works. Then that Hades will cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, in Brother Haley's book, he says, see, Death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire, and they just ceased to exist. They were the ones cast in the lake of fire. No, Brother Haley, you better read verse 15, you forgot. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who are those who were not written in the book of life? Those are those who do not obey God, who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're in the lake of fire, with death, Hades, and the devil, and his angels. Now, is that like chaff, tare, dead branches, the elements on earth? Well, no. Much worse than that. We're talking about the spirit that came out of the grave. The eternal spirit. Last passage. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 48. Not only verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. What do you mean? The first is the natural. This is the natural body. What you see here, what you have clothed on you in your spirit. But what comes after this is spiritual. Listen to what he says. The first man, the Lord, made of dust. The second man is from the Lord, from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, as he is the heavenly. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we must also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. This body is corruptible. It's defiled. It's going to die. But what comes out is incorruptible, undefiled. Does nothing. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. What has the immortal quality? Not this body, the inner body, the soul of man. Can it be destroyed by fire? No. Because it's incorruptible, undefiled, never ceases to exist. And ladies and gentlemen, it is not like branches, chaff, tares, or like Sodom and Gomorrah, or like any element on this earth. It is something that is an eternal spirit, and it will go on living somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. What determines where you end up, where I end up, on the day of judgment? You know what it determines? If my name is in the book of life. If my name is not in that book, I'm going to experience, not hypothetically, reality, you're going to experience the fires of hell for all eternity. And all these flames is not going to make it go away. It is not like shock. It's not like tears. It's not like dead branches. It's not like Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's not like the elements of this earth. It is something that has an eternal nature that cannot be destroyed. That God will allow it to occupy eternity, either in heaven or in hell. Brother Haley was wrong. Brother Haley misunderstood him. Tonight, I'm going to show you that when he wrote a book 40 years ago, he denied what he just said in the book that we just studied. Now you know what? This is not about Brother Haley. This is about your soul and my soul. It's about where we're going to spend eternity. All my life, I have tried to preach in order that men will never experience firsthand what hell will be like. I don't want anyone to end up there. God doesn't want anyone to end up there. God doesn't wish any to perish, but all to come to repentance. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But that depends on man, what he wants. Well, you just can't believe man wanted to go to hell, do you? But you know that's where the majority of people are headed. And if you're headed there, what do you want to do? You want to act like it doesn't exist. You want to try to explain it away. And then they're giving you the opportunity to do that. Well, it's not real play. If you lost, you're just going to be like dead, brother. You're going to be dead all over. You're just going to, what God's going to do is he's going to punish you for a little while, and then you're just going to cease to exist. That's not the way the Bible describes it. The Bible describes it in very graphic, dark terms. Why does God do that? Why does God use such terms? Is it to scare us? No. It is to draw us to understand reality. That hell is a real place, and you don't want to end up there. You win your obedience to the gospel. You become a child of God. You live your life the best that you can. You trust God's grace. You do your part to be obedient to the faith. You live your life in accordance with His will. And when you die, when you open up your eyes, and you will open up your eyes when you die, you're going to open your eyes up somewhere. You're going to be in the Hadean state if you die before the Lord comes again. You're going to open your eyes somewhere. Where will you be? If that happened today, if that happened tomorrow, when you left this life, when you open up your eyes on the other side, where are you going to be? Would it be comfort or would it be torment? Whatever one it is what you determine while you live here. And whatever one it is fixed. Can't be changed. Can't be altered. The time to do that is when you're living. You didn't have to make sure that you're doing what you want to be. We're here to do so. And we encourage you to come forward. That's the